Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Welcome to Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon Podcast. Glad you could join us again this week, and you'll never guess what's happening this week. Yes, indeed, we actually have Adam Winter as our guest on the podcast via Gizmo. Now, before we start that particular interview, I've got to explain something. The quality of Gizmo between he and I when we were doing the call, voice over IP, was just amazing. It was great. However, you knew there was a however from the tone of my voice. However, the recording that it did was not so great. I really wish I'd have recorded it differently. I used the internal recorder in Gizmo to do the recording. I should have used my iSound MP3 recorder because, believe me, the quality was great when we did it. But when I played back the recording, hey, Adam, listen, I'm sorry, you echo. You have that echo sound. But hopefully you can suffer through this because I think the content is really worthwhile. So we're going to go into that interview. I wish the quality was a little better. I'm living and learning, okay? But here you go. Also, the podcast is going to run just a little long because we got a little long-winded. So kind of bear with me there as well.
Oh yeah.
And we've been trying for a while. You're just too busy. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm 30 hours a week, 15 hours of classes, and, you know, studying all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, how's college treating you other than being a lot of time-consuming things going on?
It's fun. I really like it. I like it a lot better than high school. It's just a whole completely different environment.
Yeah.
A lot different.
Yeah, the thing that got me that I enjoyed is, you know, when I started out, I rented a trailer, like a little bitty trailer, and had a trailer in Greensboro. I had my own phone. I had, you know, I was having to pay all the bills. I was like, dude, all of a sudden I'm adult. I've got all this stuff I'm supposed to be responsible for. It was a weird change, dude. You know, you're a high school student, you're bopping around, everything's cool, and then the next thing you know, you're renting a place, you're paying bills, you're going to college. It's like somebody flipped a switch and said, okay, you're an adult now.
No, I've been paying bills for a little while, like cell phone bills and stuff. But
yeah.
It's completely different now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have my dad be like, okay, what do I have to pay?
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, anyway, but it was fun. Like I say, you know, of course, I did a lot of dumb things. I put up, this is the first time they'd rented this trailer. And they didn't have a separate mailbox for it, so I went out at the edge of the road and I was going to put up a mailbox, and I dug a hole and I'm putting a pole in the ground and I'm being real industrious. I didn't notice it was all poison ivy around the bottom of the. And the first few weeks of school, I'm walking around with these welts all over my feet, and I'm like, I can't stand this. So I had to walk to class and just kind of hobble along until I got past all that. But the memorable things you go through.
on campus, there's a bunch of mountains I have to hike up and down to get to class. It's like insane.
Oh, man. I ended up getting a bicycle and mounting it on the back of the car, and then I'd park in the parking lot because parking was so terrible in Greensboro. And then I'd just use the bicycle to go to classes because the campus is spread out all over the place.
Oh, no, Charlotte's not much better.
Yeah.
Apparently they've sold 16,000 parking passes, and there's only 10,000 parking space. It's horrible.
Sounds like airlines.
Oh, I know. It's horrible.
Oh, man. So tell me about the campus network.
Well, campus network is... Okay. it's fast when it works.
Oh, okay.
Let's just put it that way. They have some kind of weird new Cisco software. Let me see if I can pull that up. It's called Cisco Clean Access Client.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what it does is it authenticates you with the logon domain that they have all over campus, but it logs you out every 12 hours, and then when you try and log back in, it checks to make sure you have either Symantec or McAfee, and it also checks to make sure you have the absolute latest update. And it will not let you on the internet until you have both of those things.
Huh. So you can't use AVG or
nope.
Anything else?
They provide you a copy of Semantic.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate Semantic, you know how that goes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's like Chris Barilla says, I don't trust anybody that that recommends Norton antivirus. I mean, it's wide open. People are writing stuff to overcome it. I mean, they write viruses that go in and turn it off before they infect the system. It's ridiculous.
Well, they're starting to do that for rabies, you know. The popularity of the product, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
But it's just not as out there. Not as available like it's be.
Yeah, well,
But they seem to be maintenance on that thing every weekend. So it seems to be the weekends are a pain in the butt. When we're going to use the internet most, we can't.
Yeah.
I've determined that as it goes on.
Yeah.
But we, of course, being the computer learning community that we are, have determined ways around already.
Yeah.
We figured out the software you run on your machine is only available on Windows. So if you authenticate with a Mac or Linux, you just come in, you know, just have to log in, and that's it.
Yeah.
No check for antivirus. So we hacked the script to make it look like we're Linux machines.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. There's always going to be a way around the system. That goes without saying. Have you run up against any of the IT guys there or anything that you know, they're saying, nah, you can't do this, you can't do that?
No, we can't do anything.
I'm sure you can't BitTorrent, for instance.
We can actually BitTorrent.
Oh, you can. Oh, okay.
But it has to be legal content.
Yeah, well.
And you have to
And they're going to determine that how?
Exactly. I still get to figure out how they're doing that. But like peer-to-peer stuff, they say it's illegal, but people are doing it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just depends on who's actually looking when you do it.
Well, I think they're going to have to get over the BitTorrent thing because, you know, they're that way as CCL. You can't run BitTorrent there. They've got it blocked. But the thing is, I mean, the guy who wrote BitTorrent just got several $1 million worth of venture capital, and he's going to be developing all kinds of stuff with it. It's going to go commercial at some point. It's just too cool a technology not to use.
Oh, no, you can't just block it. Say that's it.
Yeah.
It's not classified as regular peer-to-peer.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's why I didn't jump all over people at the county for doing it when I was a security expert over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I only jumped over people they said so.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, anything in the tech news that's caught your eye of late?
Well, I got a few things that I found on Dig and Slashdot and such.
Mm-hmm.
First of which, you're going to like this. This wasn't posted on Dig or Slashdot from what I saw. It's Trekkie News.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
Apparently, Mr. Sulu has come out of the Enterprise closet.
Yeah, I did see that.
You did?
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, that was on several digs. It wasn't on the main page, but if you dig all, you can find it. But it, you know, I was like, oh, George, come on.
Well, you know. But hopefully he will inspire many young people.
Uh-huh.
That's what a friend of mine said on his blog.
Yeah, I saw something along those lines on a Greensboro blog as well that was kind of like, you know, hopefully this will help, you know, make it less of an issue and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, well.
You'd probably read the same line.
Yeah, maybe so.
Lux.
Yep, Lux, that's right. Yep. Is he a friend of yours?
Yeah, I know the guy who wrote it.
Oh, okay.
He went to Weaver one day and did a security presentation. We never good friends.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got some pretty good articles.
Oh, yeah.
Every so often. So, matter of fact, it's almost a little frustrating because he and I sometimes talk about the same thing. And I'm okay, I've got to, you know, because sometimes I'll even, sounds a little weird, but sometimes I'll even go check and say, did he cover this? Okay, great. You know.
Got to get greedy for our interest, you know.
Yeah, that's right. And try to coordinate things a little bit there.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy. Well, that's cool.
Well, he's got a bunch of people posting on there now, but his screen name is Dark Moon.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other people posting on there now.
Hmm.
I'm trying to see who else is on there, but I guess not. I guess they don't post much, but I've heard other people post on there.
Yeah, I'm probably going to, I'm working toward applying to the Tech Podcast Network, which is, you know, I think it's based out of either California, somewhere over on the left coast, and They have a lot of the larger tech podcasts are listed there, and I'm trying to get on that. And they have like this charter and all this stuff you have to agree to, and you know you have to have at least 5 podcasts already done, and your bit rate has to be a certain thing, and your RSS feed has to pass a certain validation, and there's all these different things you have to do. But you know, if I can get past all that, and they'll
right.
Then they review you. And the only other criteria I think is that you have to basically run some little ads for each other's podcasts. So you promote each other on the podcast.
You know, watch Twit now.
Yeah. You know, tune in. So but you know, it'll be kinda cool. Get on that. Maybe we get a little more national and international audience there, because I know I've got some local folks that listen to the podcast because they tell me, "Hey, I heard you on such a thing." That's cool. It's a lot of fun.
Techpodcast.com?
Yeah, techpodcast.com. Yeah. I think Todd Cochran is kind of hitting it up. I don't know if he created it or if he's just hitting it up, but he does Geek News Central, geeknewscentral.com.
Oh, okay.
And he's out of Hawaii, you know, which is kind of cool. And he's a really neat guy. I sent him some email last night because I was having a hard time getting the feed to validate correctly.
Yeah.
And it had a little problem with an iTunes tag, and it was specific to iTunes, and the validator was saying, "Man, that's not a legitimate tag," you know. So I had to modify it slightly, and he told me, you know, "Well, just look at my tag because I've got the same tag in my feed." You know? So we were going back and forth about that. So anyway, we're getting it down.
That's good.
What is this,
podcast number 6 or something? 5?
That's a good question. I think it is probably. Actually, it may even be more than that. Let me take a look.
I don't think we've done that yet.
Oh, yeah, you know. The weeks just keep going by. This is number 8.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, moving on up there, you know.
Listen to these? Wow.
Yeah, so...
No clue.
But, let's see. What did I see that I thought was interesting this week? I blogged a little bit about the Israeli tech car. You know, makes its own fuel. That was kind of cool.
Yeah,
that was neat. You know, it kind of reminds me of something I did when I was a kid. You take Red Devil Eye and you mix it up with water, and then you put it in a Coke bottle. The old style Coke bottle with the, you know, kind of glass top. And then you drop some aluminum foil in it. And the aluminum foil hits the Red Devil Eye and it starts bubbling. It's producing hydrogen. And so you take a balloon and you pull it over the top of the Coke bottle and you hold it and it'll blow it up with hydrogen. And then you tie it off and you let it go and it goes floating off, you know, like a helium balloon.
I remember that stuff in science class.
Yeah, it was cool. And the thing is, the glass in the bottom of the bottle gets so hot. I mean, you could burn yourself on that thing. And eventually it'll keep bubbling up until the glass just basically drops out of the bottom. So it's kind of dangerous, but it's cool because you can make these hydrogen balloons, you know. We were floating them all over the place and have a lot of fun with it. But it reminded me of that. You know, you take metal, you put it in the chemical, and it produces hydrogen. I don't know how they're going to turn it into a car, but, you know, cool.
Whatever.
I really want a hydrogen car. I think that would be just really awesome. So.
I really want a car that doesn't use gas. But, you know.
Well, yeah, whatever. Ethanol would do for me.
I've heard, but nobody carries it.
Well, there's a place in Charlotte that does now.
One place
in the whole state that carries it. But, you know, hopefully it'll start getting some more traction. And people start using them. But you got to have cars that are flex fuel cars, which are
right.
It's not that many out there. But I'll tell you,
the family minivan does, but my car doesn't.
Yeah, I checked mine. I thought mine might because it's a Ford Escape's a 2002. I thought maybe, but nah. So oh well.
Yeah.
And let's see what else. There was a thing about there's some guy on eBay selling Windows 95 upgrade version for a penny.
Yeah, I saw you trying that.
That was pretty cool. But it had zero bid for a penny.
Oh,
I thought,
my God.
That is
it's
not
worth it.
Too cool. So I just couldn't
retire it.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, I've got those.
But
those were thrown away from places I used to work. They were throwing them away in stacks. you know. But the cool thing was, is, you know, I just couldn't resist blogging. You know, this is what Windows is really worth. rub it in. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got, did you hear about the new VM player
that they released?
No.
Okay, basically what they did was they took VMware and they released just a VMware player for it.
So you can get something all about that, but I didn't go into it. What's it about?
You can get other people's VMware files and run them on your machine.
Oh,
so basically run already created VMware files.
So the advantage is what?
The advantage is, well, if you don't have, you don't want to pay $9 for the VMware license, but you want to be able to run someone else's machine that they created for you.
Okay, but aren't there still licensing issues?
I think so, but I'm not going to go there. Well, apparently, someone has made it so that you can create VMware files, so that basically you have a full version of VMware, just a little bit more work.
Mm-hmm.
It uses an open source emulator called QEMU.
Okay.
And then it's just basically, you basically create the virtual machine file out there.
Yeah.
And the VMware player just picks it up and launches it.
Hmm. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that they've got at CCL, they've got the full-blown VMware, and I'm gonna play with that some. They're doing some more things with virtualized servers because they're having to test software, you know, in a QA environment, and then when it goes into production, it has to be in the same quote-unquote exact same environment in order for the QA test to be valid.
Right.
So the way they're doing that is, you know, I mean, obviously, you do it on one machine, and then even if you get the exact same model Dell, who's to say it's going to have exactly the same hardware in it every single time? And so by doing it all on virtualized machines, they're all the same virtualized machines.
Right.
So it makes it a little bit more valid. And and so that's, you know, because I want to play with that. That's going to be kind of fun. But
yeah.
And, of course, it's running on Linux. You got to love that.
Of course.
So anyway, let's see. What else was I going to mention when we talked about? Oh, yeah. Have you ever heard of React OS?
Yeah, I have actually. I played with it a little bit.
You did? I played with it a little, and I was a little disappointed because it didn't recognize some of the hardware that I had, and it, particularly USB. It didn't see my USB devices. But I thought to myself, if it really worked the way they claimed it did, that would be pretty awesome, an open-source Windows operating system.
Oh, wow.
Because then everybody, all the complaints everybody has about, oh, but I bought this, that, and the other software, I can't run it on Linux. You know, although Wine just came out with version 0.9, so maybe they eventually get to a version that everything really works, that would be great. But in the meantime, you know, I thought this React OS might be cool, and I could start spreading that all over the world and promoting it and taking a chunk out of Microsoft's market share. It was one of my personal goals in life. But anyway...
I was amazed at how small that thing is.
Yeah, well, you know, in the old days, we used to have operating systems that would fit on a floppy.
Oh, I know.
Matter of fact, there was one that I had at one point. I don't remember the name of it now, but the thing literally was on a 1.44 floppy. It had a graphical environment. It had a web browser. It had this entire thing, and it was all running off of like less than a meg.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
It was awesome. Of course, it never went anywhere, but it was just too cool to pass up.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved going.
That
was
ReactOS Live Bootable is 13 megs.
Yeah. See, that's, you know, you can do it. Same. Microsoft's just bloatware.
Yep.
And it's getting worse, you know. Mm-hmm. I saw that they had released Word 2002 as a component of the new Microsoft Works.
Huh.
So that's pretty weird. So the new Works, although who would buy Works? I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
But even so, at least it's finally getting true Word in there. But, you know, and then the new version of Word, they're supposed to start, well, more or less, supporting more open documents, XML, and so forth.
Right.
But we'll see. There's a big to-do up in, what is it, Massachusetts? That they're trying to throw out Microsoft Office because it doesn't comply to open document standards.
Yeah.
So.
Well, did you see the new benchmarks for OpenOffice 2.0?
Mm-mm.
Apparently they use a ton more RAM than Office does.
Oh,
Office uses like 32 megs of RAM to run, and OpenOffice uses like 200.
Yeah. I saw briefly a little thing about on Dig. It was I didn't dig the headline, but I saw the headline that said OpenOffice more bloated than Windows.
Yep.
And I didn't click on it. Probably should have. Yeah. That's probably what that was about.
Yeah.
Huh,
that's
that's a shame. Well, you know, they'll probably, if there's enough to do about that, they'll probably address that. But
yeah,
you know.
The problem is things still run on Java.
Yeah, well, that's true. It used to be a real pain because you had to install Java first if you were going to use certain features, and they've at least bundled that now into so not quite as big a deal. But it's that dependence on Sun.
I don't know.
You know, but still.
Right, a Japanese company claims a fiber optic transfer record.
Oh, yeah. The 1 terabyte, what is it, per second?
Yeah.
2-hour movie, half a second.
That's just amazing.
Okay, when can I get that?
I know. I need that at my house.
Yeah, I know, I do too.
We all need that much bandwidth.
Oh man,
that would be awesome.
Well, did you see, like, all the other countries have faster internet access than us?
Oh, I know. I've seen that for years, and I'm like, dude, we're America. What is the deal?
Like,
but
a
40, you know what it
you
is.
Get a 40-meg pipe for the same price we get a 2-meg pipe.
It's all comes down to politics, and now I don't mean politics on a national level, but in a business level, between the phone companies and the cable companies and all that, because it's you got to know there's some kind of little agreement deal going on.
Right.
Where they're all saying, well, okay, we'll offer, you know, 7 meg, but now, you know, there's
really
got to be that going
meg.
On. Yeah, because, you know, in all these other countries, 40 meg to your door, and that's just standard cable, and they're paying $10 a month or something for it.
Oh,
you
man.
Know if they can do it there, they can do it here, easy.
Well, it's the same thing as the cell phone network. The cell phone network in other countries is great. You push the send button, you're connected instantly.
Yeah.
Here, there's at least a 10-second lag.
And they're doing things, they're already doing things like video and television and everything else, and we're just kind of sitting around waiting for it.
I know.
It just doesn't make good sense. Because we're so far ahead in everything else.
You know, government actually made the cell phone towers. They made the cell phone network.
Yeah.
And then they leased it to other companies.
Well, they claim that, you know, the fact that we're still running analog TV is taking up some bandwidth that would be freed up for more cell phone and emergency frequencies and all this kind of stuff. I think it's McCain has got a bill in to try to get everybody to switch to digital TV by 2007?
Well, they pushed it up now. It was 2009. Now it's 2008.
2008, okay, yeah.
It was at 9, but they just pushed it up this morning, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, you know, they're arguing that back and forth, and you know, hey, I know I'm an early adopter, but give me digital TV, free some bandwidth up, get us our toys, you know. Okay, it's a little pain for some folks, I'm sorry, but, you know, let's get it done, because I don't like being behind in the rest of the world
and
all the technology that's going on out there. Because, like I say, we're ahead in other areas, you know.
Right.
But there's some things we're lagging on, and it's just not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm curious to see if Google is really going to do the free Wi-Fi, or at least ad-supported Wi-Fi, and finally get... I don't know about you, but I get irritated when I see commercials for, like, NetZero and AOL Dial-Up, all these dial-up companies, and I'm going, you people are crazy. You know, I don't care if it's $10, $9, whatever. Dial up just stinks. Don't do it.
Well,
like,
you get
don't do drugs,
lowest,
you know?
You get the lowest grade DSL from Bell South for the same price.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, the way and admittedly, I'm a geek, but, you know, I got broadband down here at the lake at my mom's house. I've got broadband at home. I got broadband at work. I don't even do dial-up anymore. I don't even go to a hotel unless it has broadband. I check in advance. I say, you got broadband? Okay, I'm coming.
You got free broadband.
I don't, yeah, free. I don't do dial-up.
Oh, I know.
I don't even care if my laptop has dial-up.
Campus internet went down is insane.
Oh, it just, like,
we had an assignment due, and it was like 20 minutes later, it's like load of page.
I know, it's like pulling teeth. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I just I can't see people that are still actually using it for their internet connectivity. But anyway,
my grandparents use it, and it's like slow.
There's a couple in our church that, you know, they at least say they live so far out. There's no cable, and their phone company is one of these, you know, third party phone companies that doesn't offer DSL. And they're literally out there. The only thing they've got is dial-up. And I thought to myself, I'd have to look at satellite. Even if it's not that great, I'd have to have at least some download speed that was decent.
A friend of mine lives out there, too.
Yeah.
And he has ISDN. This is his only option.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, ISDN is not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, well, no, it's not. But compared to dial-up.
Compared, yes.
It's worthwhile. And, you know, speaking of using Gizmo here for our connectivity, you know, Leo and them, when they do their radio broadcast, they're using ISDN to connect to their radio stations.
Well, that's because ISDN was made for radio. It was never actually made for...
And the quality is just amazing. I mean, I've been listening to his KFI podcast that are basically his radio programs and stuff. And,
right.
And it's just amazing to think. Here he sits out in Petaluma, wherever that is, in California, and he's got this ISDN line, and it sounds really good. So, you know, you wonder, eventually, they're going to have telephones that have that quality, you know, and everybody's going to sound like an FM DJ when they talk on the phone.
These VoIP phones are the way to go.
Oh, well, that's true.
I mean, the quality of this call is amazing.
Yeah, you think about it. I mean, here we are talking, and it sounds like we're in the studio or something. But I don't know about you. Have you seen that Gizmo seems to be a little better quality than Skype?
Yes, I have.
I've noticed that. Yeah. And, you know, it's a Michael Robertson deal. Same as Linspire. So, of course, I'm just a Linspire guy. eBay didn't buy Gizmo.
No, they bought Skype.
They bought Skype, yeah. But, no, Gizmo is still Michael Robertson.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, he pretty much got into it because of Sipphone. That's another one of his companies.
Yeah.
And he basically started offering Sipphone, and then VoIP kind of got bigger and bigger, and he said, well, let's do that too, you know. But he has a tendency to kind of come in maybe just a little late, but he tends to improve the technology, whatever it is, and find ways to use it, but this is still free, so you know, a lot of people complain about Linspire not being free, but there's some value there to me for the general user. You know, if you're not a Debian geek, you're not going to do it, you know, roll your own. It's kind of cool to put a CD in, and within 5 minutes you've got a really cool Linux desktop going.
Not Vix.
yeah. Well, anyway, you know, and our Morphix. Morphix with KDE, you could run it, you know, off your CD and then say, okay, I like it, and, you know, put it on the hard drive.
Oh, yeah,
which is kind of cool. Does Nopix do that? I thought it was just
no, I think it can do it on boot.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it's getting better. The whole Linux desktop deal is getting better.
Yeah.
And I even have to admit, as much of a promoter as I am, it's still not quite there for grandma.
No, it's not.
You know, it really isn't. But it's getting closer, and one day, you know.
Getting closer with every year. But
I think if they really, truly got wine where it needs to be, and it was incorporated as part of the whole deal, where they could just say, okay, I'm going to go out and buy a Windows program, it's going to install and run, I don't have to tweak it, I don't have to do anything special, and they solve the driver issues, and they do all that, then, who knows, maybe.
I think
by that time, maybe React OS will be there, so who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Driver issues, I think, are the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's for sure. And particularly wireless drivers. I have the biggest time
with
wireless drivers, because I was thinking about that recently. I'm going to be moving into an apartment in Greensboro, and I'm going to be changing my network. And of course, the house I'm in right now is wired, you know, from the get-go with Cat 5, enhanced Cat 5. But with the apartment, I'm not going to be able to do that, so I'm going to go wireless. And right. I was like, okay, that's all cool. You know, I've got wireless in my laptops and wireless here and wireless there. And then I realized my Linux server is a Debian Linux server. And I'm like, well, it's going to have to be in the same room as the router. Because I can't get a wireless. I could do it, but I'm not going to fight the battle. I'm just going to put it
using,
to the same.
NDIS router.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking of. I could do that, but...
I did actually get it working.
Really?
But the problem is that we have these 2.4 gig phones in my house.
Yeah.
And then you pick one up, it knocks you off. And with Windows, it automatically reconnects you.
Yeah.
Linux, I could never get the thing to reconnect. I had to restart in order to get it.
See, that's not right. That's just not right. Yeah, well, I'm gonna put the printer. I've got believe it or not, I've got an HP 4700 color laser jet.
Nice.
I've got one of those, and it's an Ethernet connection. So I'm going to put that in the same room with the server connected to the router, and everything else will be wireless.
You could do a bridge.
Yeah, and I thought about, you know, one of those wireless access points that, you know, it comes out as an Ethernet cable that can plug in, and it does all the thinking in its little brain that sits there.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna fool with all that. I've got to put it all together somewhere anyway. So I'm just gonna have like one quote computer room that's gonna have all that in it, and then my wireless access will give me everything else. And then the other computers throughout the apartment, I'll have wireless cards in. I've already had one wireless card in my hot machine. I've got a machine, it's not that hot, but it's hot for the rest of them compared to the rest of them. 1.8 gigahertz, it's a gig of memory, 80 gig hard drive, lots of ports, you know, so it's the one that I use to do a lot of my experimentation. It's got a drawer for the hard drive so I can swap hard drives in and out, and that's already got a wireless card in it.
Nice.
And I got it for like $12. I mean, wireless cards have gotten cheap.
Oh,
no. And of course, it's a no-name brand, but who cares? It's Windows, it works. You know.
The only problem I have with no-name brand stuff is do not ever get a Belkin router.
Oh, really?
Wireless access points.
Huh.
They are horrible.
Huh, well, that's interesting because I tend to use Linksys.
Yeah, Linksys are by far the best.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Like, I'm sitting in my room in the garage of our house. I can see the access point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anywhere far away, but I have a 30% signal.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's horrible.
Is it wireless G?
Yes. But G doesn't travel as far as B, so
well,
that's part of it.
That's true.
And it's a Belkin access point, so.
Yeah. Well, you, quote, get what you pay for.
Yeah, you get $5 you pay for.
There you go. But I haven't any problem with the Linksys. I've got a client that I'm working with right now that I put a Linksys router in the she's a lawyer, and she works in this building that's like two stories. It's an old house, but it's a big old house. And when I originally installed all of the systems, she had like these other lawyers that work with her and, you know, receptionists and all this. We set them all up on wireless because it's a big old house, hardwire. So it was all great. You know, they're all on the first floor. Well, she moved her office upstairs, and her signal went from excellent to almost none just by moving upstairs. And it's almost directly above where the router sits. So it's like the signal is going out but not up.
Well, that's how wireless travels.
That's what I found out. I started doing some research and went, oh, well, hey, that's normal, quote-unquote. Because I was really going to buy some longer antennas, you know, booster antennas for the Linksys, which you can get for like $30 for a pair of them.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And come to find out, as I did some research online, that's great, but it just increases the signal further out, but not up.
Right. It will never go up.
It won't go up. So what I'm going to end up having to do, it looks like, is get a repeater and, you know, tune the repeater to the router and put it like halfway up the stairs, because there's this staircase that goes up, plug it in there, and then see if I can just get that signal to creep just a little higher.
Well, see, what I might do is, if you take, Jackson's points at one side of the house, go upstairs with the repeater, the other side of the house, and plug it in.
Yeah.
Because it can go slowly upward. So you may be able to catch it and have that repeater.
So it's like radiating out, but also up.
Slightly
up, kind of like a bow tie look.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
You might want to try that, too.
That might be worth trying. That would be odd, because the repeater would be... The way she's arranged, her office is almost straight up above the router.
Right.
So, literally, she's in that zone of least signal, you know.
Yeah.
So, that would be weird to have to put the repeater up on the other end of upstairs just so that she can get a signal while she's up there. Weird.
But actually, I haven't had that much problem. I'm thinking about it in my house. I have two computers right above my router.
Mm-hmm.
And they apparently don't have any problems.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine, Steve Taylor. He's a network guy, and he was saying that in a lot of these old houses, particularly if they had stucco in them, they have like a wire mesh they put down, and then they put their stucco and stuff. And it's almost like having, you know, Faraday cages in each room. You know, and he says sometimes the older houses actually will block things, signal more than the newer houses, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, we're in a newer house here, so.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a really old place. And it's nice, but it's, you know, it's just kind of old. All righty, well, I'm sure we've gone much further than a half-hour podcast.
Oh, yeah, already. Sure. 40 minutes, I think.
Yeah, well, I may have to do a little editing here and there, which probably is a good thing.
Yeah, probably. Take out a random.
Well, I did a little editing, not a whole lot of editing, as you can tell, but a little bit. So that was our interview with Adam Winter. I trust you enjoyed that. I'm sorry for the echo effect. That's just kind of an artifact of the way Gizmo recorded it, because it sounded good while we were doing it. But, you know, the content I thought was really good, though. I thought... some of the things that came up and what we covered were interesting, and also maybe even give you some hints and tips, particularly that last segment with regard to wireless, on how to place your router, how to you know, get a little more signal, particularly in a two-story situation like we were talking about. So hopefully that will help you out. And I hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. We're going to head on out of here. The doctor is out. Join me again next week.